Thanks be to God for God's indescribable gift. When we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing on this Thursday next, our celebration will be rooted in two stories that have shaped our character personally and nationally. The first is a story of our nation's founding. William Bradford, passenger on the Mayflower and first governor of the Plymouth Colony, writes, "Being thus arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell on their knees and blessed the God of heaven, who had brought them over the vast and furious ocean, and delivered them from all perils and miseries thereof, again to set foot on the firm and stable earth. They had no friends to welcome them, no inns to entertain or refresh their weather-beaten bodies, no houses or much less towns to repair to seek succor. What could not sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace? May not and ought not the children of these fathers rightly say, our fathers which came over this great ocean were ready to perish in the wilderness. But they cried unto the Lord, and He heard their voice and looked on their adversity. Let them therefore praise the Lord, because He is good and His mercies endure forever." Story one. The second story on which the first is based is the story we just listened to, told at the end of the Exodus, speaking on the boundary between the wilderness and the land in Deuteronomy. Moses says, and I know I repeat, remember the long way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger and feeding you with manna. Those clothes on your back did not wear out, and your feet did not swell those 40 years. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land flowing with streams, with springs and underground waters, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. In both stories, it is God who brought us out of Egypt, brought us over the vast and furious ocean, and brought us into the land. But in between the verb of exit and the verb of entrance, Walter Brueggemann says, the real story awaits those who lean in close to hear. Nowhere but in the wilderness may we face the truth of our collective human existence, our vulnerability, our lives exposed to threats of death and at risk without sure resources. Here, Brueggemann says, the memory is not potatoes laced with bourbon, cranberry sauce still running, Brussels sprouts in bed with chestnuts, green beans swimming in mushroom soup, Beaujolais and Sauvignon Blanc flowing, pumpkin pies cooling. Then someone begins to tell the story. Remember those first few years of marriage, Ellie, in that little apartment? When we didn't have 2 cents to rub together, but had each other for warmth, remember? Now that continues. Will you ever forget that Thanksgiving? His mother lay dying in the bedroom. When we ate on our laps and laughed until we all cried. And then, when I was your age, and we think, oh, please, no, not that story again. It was the height of the Depression. When your great-grandfather sold papers on the street for pennies while your great-grandmother canned until the cupboard was full for the winter. And your grandfather walked 2 miles, or was it 10, in the snow without boots to school. But that was the year when, instead of turkey, we ate hash on Thanksgiving, and it was the most extravagant meal ever. Or maybe, just maybe this Thanksgiving, for the first time, Uncle Bill might break his silence and tell the story of Thanksgiving in Vietnam, when the fighting stopped long enough for him and his buddies to count their blessings and eat their rations. You and I tell wilderness stories of the days when God humbled and tested you to know what was in your heart. Remember seasons when God let you hunger in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone. Marvel at the years when your clothes, the clothes on your back did not wear out and your feet did not swell. You speak of those times with the younger generation who may chime in with their own story of testing in Calvary. You tell your story, the story of your life between the verb of exit and the verb of entrance. A story we fail to tell our children at their own peril. And a story I dare say we forget at our own. At the heart of each of these stories is the experience of extreme vulnerability and total dependence. When you found yourself in a place where none of your own resources were adequate, where you were not self-sufficient, where you could not manage on your own. Yet it was precisely in these places of dreadful inadequacy that our ancestors acknowledged God's generous adequacy and gave thanks. But here's the rub. Once the Israelites, or the refugees, or the immigrants, once they enter the land and eat their fill and build fine houses and amass herds and flocks and silver and gold, once all they have is multiplied, then Moses warns they will begin to exalt themselves and forget God. Why do we do that? Because we all do. Brueggemann offers 3 daunting reasons we forget God in the land. The first is this: gifts given in abundance to the satiated do not finally lead to trusting gratitude, but to complacent self-congratulations. The not-so-hidden assumption in both Deuteronomy, the Deuteronomic history, and American history is the insistence that we get what we deserve. Specifically, the assumption in Deuteronomy is, if you do thus and so, earn everything I have. It is mine to do with as I please. I repeat, gifts given in abundance to the satiated do not finally lead to trusting gratitude, but to complacent self-congratulations. I dare say these assumptions shape who we are. They literally order our common life economically, politically, socially, and religiously. Therefore, to proclaim joyfully, as preachers are wont to do on a Sunday like this, that you and I, in our success, are as dependent as every other child of God in this nation on God's providence, is downright un-American. That's the first. But even the second reason we forget God in the land has everything to do with our attitude toward the pledge card we hold in our hands. A gift kept long enough begins to seem like a possession, he says. And his third reason follows from the second. A gift kept long enough becomes separated in the memory of the recipient from the giver, so that the giver is forgotten. We have kept the food, the houses, the present-day versions of herds and flocks, the silver and gold, the investments and the inheritance, long enough to believe they are our possessions. The result of hard work and good behavior, our just deserts. Therefore, our giving to the church's ministry and mission becomes a giving up of resources that are rightfully ours. In our minds, we become the generous ones, not God. Here is the subtle and fatal flaw in that reasoning. Fatal because, as Moses said to the Israelites, if you do forget the Lord your God and follow other gods to serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Return for a moment to that boundary between wilderness and the land, between ocean and firm and stable earth. In the wilderness, God was unambiguously the giver, the provider, the guarantor of life. In the wilderness, manna was bread they had never seen, could not explain, and were never to possess. A gift that turned them in gratitude toward the giver. They were practicing what it would look like to be God's people once they entered the land. But once in the land, even though God continues to be the giver, the provider, the guarantor of life, we soon think that what we have is self-generated, turning us to God. Autonomy over dependence, self-exaltation over gratitude and generosity. Now, as Moses feared, God's gift of bread leads us to exalt ourselves and forget God. I repeat, gifts without givers become property and occasions for self-enhancement. To wit, God forbid that a tithe, a tenth of God's gift, returned to God in gratitude, might diminish our possessions, our financial security, our children's future. Mark Moses' words well. No society, and certainly no church, and survive for very long as a collection of autonomous, self-exalting creatures. spite of being forgotten, God continues to give. Like a mother continues to provide food, shelter, guidance, discipline, and support to the child, even though the child may never turn toward her in gratitude, if you have not seen the movie Lady Bird, no. So without counting the cost like that mother, God provides everything to God's entitled brood. God's assumption is not if, then, but because, therefore. Because I love you, therefore I will give you my son, my only son, my beloved. Thanks be to God, Paul proclaimed, for God's indescribable gift. Perhaps on this Thursday next, we would do well to begin at Christ's table. Begin by bringing a common loaf of bread and sharing a common cup